Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, broadcasting live exclusively on BlogTalkRadio.com. You can get... Welcome to another episode of Real Sports Talk Radio, courtesy of BackSportsPage.com, broadcasting live exclusively...
Two times.
Let's see if we can come up with a better opening. There's got to be something. Hold on, how about this?
Is that the Marilyn fight song? All right. Is that the Marilyn fight song? Okay, is that the Marilyn fight song? Sooner or later, my co-host Seth Gamins will be joining the show after he decides to stop YouTubing. This is Sean Palmer, and we're talking live on Blog Talk Radio, the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. If you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846. We do have an array of sports to talk about tonight, starting with the Maryland Terrapins having their signature win over the Dukies this past weekend. Congratulations, sir. You probably have made the tournament.
Our copious what?
I said a copious array.
Wow. Someone's been studying for the LSATs again.
Copious array. Yes. And I believe that you now have your signature win.
We do. It was a really great game, considering Maryland committed 26 turnovers, was without their point guard, and we really only have one point guard. We, of course, as most of you know, I am a pretty diehard Maryland alum, and shot 60% from the floor and were able to somehow overcome the turnovers, and Alex Len once again looking unfortunately like he's going to be a top five pick, and now we're in the running for the tournament. And at worst, we got to beat Duke in their last game ever in Maryland. And then, at worst, it's a defining victory for Mark Turgeon. We had a lot of big recruits there, so hopefully next year we have a big point guard coming in. So hopefully we'll grow from there, and maybe we'll be able to sneak into the tournament this year.
I think you're in. I think that was your signature win. I think Alex Len proved that Mason Plumlee is to disappear. The probable ACC player of the year was denigrated to, I believe, 4 points on the night.
He was?
Mason was invisible. Yeah, I think he only had 4 points. Invisible.
Alex Len, the problem and the Maryland has had is that they have no point guard. Vishawn Howard, who is our starter, shoots about 25% from the floor, and that's not an exaggeration. And he was suspended, actually, for the game. So we had a freshman shooting guard playing point and a sophomore shooting guard playing point. Otherwise, we would have won this game by a significant amount. We could not miss a shot. Seth Curry single-handedly kept Duke in the game with about 20 to 25 points. It was a well-played. I mean, it was a frustrating game to watch, but it was a very gratifying win for Maryland, who has not had that many over the last few years.
And as I replayed the game on DVR, I was wondering, did you see visions of Jason Williams or Jay Williams?
Everybody saw visions. Oh yeah, we all saw visions of Jason Williams. Of course, he's referring to the worst sports weekend of my life in 2001, where on a Saturday night, Maryland blew a 10-point lead in the last minute to Duke, led by all-world point guard Jason Williams.
Not to Duke, to Jay Williams.
To Jay Williams. And then I ended up drinking at the Montgomery Grill, which no longer exists in Bethesda, Maryland. And then I decided, the next day, I had the fun of watching the Baltimore Ravens destroy my beloved New York Giants in the Super Bowl. It was not a fun Monday. or a fun day Sunday or whatever they want to call it. It was a pretty miserable Sunday. I remember it well. And yes,
so you had visions. You saw yourself kind of Jay Williams.
Yeah, it just they just couldn't put the game away. And when Dez Wells was called for a relatively ridiculous fifth foul with 30 seconds to go, and then we fouled our freshman Jake Lehman fouled Rashud Suleiman for three free throws and a tie. I think every Maryland fan who was alive or was at least an alum in 2001. Saw that coming again. But luckily we were able to avoid it. And we have four games to go. Our schedule is a little bit easier going down the stretch. And if we win three of four, we have a pretty bad out of conference schedule, but we got a legitimate shot at making the tournament. So good for us. And welcome to the big show, everybody. Seth and Sean on a disgustingly rainy New York night. And there are a lot of things to talk about, or as my eloquent partner stated, a copious array.
Well, so, let's continue on the college basketball route. There was a big story that happened after our show last week, and there's a big story happening this weekend. The big story happening last week was Nerlens Noel going down with a torn ACL, which again brings to mind the idea of why are these players even playing college basketball when they have no intent to play more than 1 year? Why, if they can play in the NBA, are they subjecting themselves to one more year of college basketball? Is this the right call for the NBA? It's been collectively bargained, so there's no way that this is going to go away, at least until the next collective bargaining agreement. But the same holds true for every other sport. Where you have football, Jadeveon Clowney could probably come out in the draft this year and be the top player in the draft, and he's ineligible because he's a sophomore. And what do you think? I mean, this one-and-done concept really puts a lot of risk on the players, and Nerlens Noel, while not going to be the number one pick probably this year, still will probably be a top five, maybe 10 pick, but he could have been in the NBA right now earning money.
Yeah, it's... As you said, it's collectively bargained, so there's not much that can be done. I'm of the impression that you should be able to go one of two ways, that after high school you should have the right to join the draft, but if you commit to a college, you should have to commit for 2 years. Now, I don't know the legalese of whether – I don't know the legality of that. You know, that's you. You're the attorney. But the one and done is garbage to me, and – It has destroyed the caliber of college basketball to an extent that I cannot believe. I had a discussion on Wednesday night, Duke Carolina, and one of the reasons, to give Duke credit, they were coming off of two pretty tough games back to back in 6 days. The Duke North Carolina, which to me has always been the best rivalry in college basketball, nothing's really been close. And I watched.
Oh, contrairement, Fred, you will be seeing rivalry this weekend that may rival the Duke North Carolina one, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. In my mind, Duke North Carolina is the preeminent college basketball rivalry. You can throw in others. I don't. That was the single worst. It was a close game. That was the single worst played college basketball game of teams of that caliber that I've seen in years. Not even, you know, they couldn't shoot, but the fundamental basketball was horrendous. It was, and I remember watching it, and I wrote something on Facebook, and people have stated that I'm snarky on Facebook, and that's fine. Maybe I am. You know, I kind of dwell on the negative a lot of times on that. I couldn't believe how bad the Cal, and I had people from both North Carolina and Duke say the same thing, that it was a game, you know, there is some, obviously there's talent there, but it is no, there's no flow to the game. You know, just because Dick Vitale says it's great doesn't mean it's great. You know, that's
right,
the reality.
But Seth, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate. Is this because the college game is bad, or is it because the fundamentals are not taught at the high school level or even below that?
There's a little bit of – I think it's a little bit of both. The fundamentals are not taught as well. There's no question about that. And now, because you have people who are one and done, you know, there's no time to really almost teach the fundamentals in a college game, because you have people, you know, the players are coming in and they're leaving. And, you know, you look at some of the teams, and this year has been a better year than the last couple, I think, have. But you have a myriad of teams that are in the running for things because they're senior laden. They've been taught the fundamentals. I mean, look at Butler over the last couple of years. You know, Butler is a fundamentally strong team. Now, talent-wise, would you have matched them up against, you know, in the top 20 to 25? Probably not. But they made the championship game twice. Could very well have beaten Duke.
Established this. Basketball is a team game. I mean, even going back to the NBA, Kareem didn't win without Magic.
Right.
And Michael didn't win without Scottie and Horace Grant. And you can go on and on and on. But the fact is that one player generally, I mean, even if you go to Kentucky last year, it wasn't just one player. I mean,
No. It's
a team game. You can't win with one player. And that's the problem that Douglas McDermott has right now, that he's the only player on that team. So are they going to be able to go that far? We've seen it in college basketball or anything. Basketball is more of a team game. It can be dominated by one player, but chances are you're not going to win a championship or NCAA, NBA, high school, maybe junior high, but probably not past that, without some teamwork.
Well, I almost won my junior high championship based on one player, and it sure as heck wasn't me. We had a guy named Dave Bray, who was probably the best PAL play ever, who scored, I think, 68 points in a game one year, and we lost on a buzzer beater. So, I mean, in junior high, it can be done. So props out to Dave, wherever he is. I think he's out in Jersey now. But, yeah, after that, very rarely do you see it. I mean, the closest to a one-man show we've seen in the last 10 years is probably, you know, Carmelo at your beloved Syracuse. But they also had Jerry McNamara, who hit, I think, 6 threes in the first half of the title game. They had Hakeem Warrick. And the only other one that I can remember being close to a one-man show is Kemba Walker on an extraordinarily mediocre Connecticut team that won the title 2 years ago.
You go to the NBA, the one example I can remember is LeBron against the Pistons,
Spurs.
Right? Where he had 29 straight points in the fourth quarter or something like that.
No, yeah, that was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. I think it was game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit. He scored, I think it was 27 or 29 in a row, and they won the game in overtime, but eventually ran into a buzzsaw in San Antonio. You can't win, you know, it's been proven. LeBron couldn't win it in Cleveland. And to be fair, and, you know, I'm harsh on LeBron, and everybody knows that. Magic couldn't do it in L.A. Magic didn't have an opportunity to do it in L.A. because he had Kareem from the outset. Jordan couldn't do it in Chicago. It's a difficult, you know, it can't be done. It's not a one.
Okay, so let's bring it back to where we started, which is, are these players the one and done? You don't believe in the concept of a one and done, so you're more looking towards what Major League Baseball does, is you can come out after high school and sign, or you have to, I guess the word enlist is the wrong word, but the only word that's coming to my mind right now, you could enlist for 2 or 3 years, and then you can draft.
You're committed for a minimum of 2 years. Okay. You know, football, well, you can't leave to play high school to play football in high school, but that's a little different. Because physically, I don't know. I think there are very few players who physically could handle going straight from high school to pro football. The physical aspect in the NBA versus the physical sport aspect of the NFL is a bit different. That's what I'm in favor of. I'm just not a believer in one and done. And even John Calipari has said he's not a believer in it. Now, whether it's true or not, you know, he's stated this many times. Now, he just takes advantage of the system that's there, which is fine. And it's going to actually bring up a really, really interesting situation next year, because he had brought in 5 new freshmen this year, assuming just like the prior year with Keith Gilchrist and Anthony Davis and I want to say Marcus Teague, that they would all go to pro. Well, the problem is Kentucky is awful this year and is not looking like they're going to make the tournament. None of these guys are going to go pro. And what do you have?
I don't believe that at all. I think Noel is definitely gone.
Well, Noel is going to go pro. Do you think Ryan Harrow is going to go pro? Do you think Archie Goodwin's going to go pro?
Well, I think there's an interesting – you're right. It's an interesting dilemma. I think three out of the five of them are actually going to go pro, if not more than that. I think Cauley Stein will actually go pro because
okay.
I think he's a seven-footer. I think he'll be in the first round. He'll get a promise, and he'll go. And that's all that – if you're a college basketball player and you're looking to go to the NBA, that's what you want. You want a promise of guaranteed money. So you don't become the if Cauley Stein comes back and he gets hurt, then he loses that promise and he doesn't get a first round. He doesn't have the talent for first round right now, but he definitely has the
size.
Yeah, he's got the size and the ceiling. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's at the ceiling of being.
It's also the weakest draft, supposedly. I mean, it's the weakest draft in recent memory.
Yeah, but we say that every year. Since the Carmelo draft, has there been a strong draft?
I'd have to. Well, I'll take a look on Wikipedia and kind of go through that. Speaking of
drafts going into the draft, would you have said have been quote strong drafts? I mean.
I'm going to look at it from a college perspective, not from how it came out.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is based on what you said before, is that players do not have the time to reach that ceiling in college or even touch that ceiling in college because they are one and done.
Right.
So I think you have a very valid point, my friend.
It happens every once in a while. Speaking of draft picks who have actually – fulfilled the promise. Did Kyrie Irving have his breakout moment this weekend?
You switched over. I thought you were going one way. We'll come back to it in a second. But I believe you are correct. Kyrie Irving's a stud. I mean,
he really is.
He may be in the top three point guards in the NBA right now.
It's seeming that way. Chris Paul, when healthy, is still number one.
And I think Tony Parker's better than him. I mean, Tony Parker has had what I would call an MVP performance this year.
Yeah. That team, you just write that team in for 55 wins. And I should say, if anyone wants to talk about any of these, we're going to go all over the place tonight. It's kind of a fun week. Phone number is 760-283-0846. Seth and Sean, sponsored by backsportspage.com. And, Rondo's injured. Darren Williams has not
Derek
been
Rose.
Very good. Derrick Rose has
Derek
been injured.
Rose is hurt.
Westbrook is a pseudo point guard at best.
He's all NBA third or second team this year. I don't see anybody else that makes a claim to that. And he's carried that Cavalier team. Now, granted, that Cavalier team.
He hasn't carried them that far.
Right, but as we said before, one player can only do so much.
Yeah.
And that player. Remember, A would be a junior in college right now, right? Junior? This is his second year?
Junior. No. Yes, he'd be a junior.
He'd be a junior in college. His power forward would be a junior in college. Interesting.
His shooting guard would be a sophomore in college, I believe.
Oh, junior. Because
Waiters would be a junior? Okay.
Sophomore year. So his center has been injured all year. And I don't even know who his small forward is. You have any idea who plays for the Cavaliers and plays small forward?
Well, I'm assuming off the top of my head that Tristan Thompson is the power forward.
Right, that's where I was going with that. So who the heck is the small forward? I mean,
I'm looking
up right now. But I have no idea who's playing small forward. And that just goes to prove Seth and Sean do not know all. We know a lot, but we don't know all. So,
no, you know a lot. I know a decent amount.
You're going to learn a little bit more this weekend about rivalries, my friend. You're going to learn a little bit more. All right. Alonzo G is their small forward, and their center is a rookie. Is is Tyler Zeller. So they have Irving,
right.
who's a junior, Waiters, who's a junior, G, who I think is a second-year player, Thompson, who's a junior, and Zeller, who's a rookie. So basically they have a college team.
Now, an interesting question was broached to me this weekend about the NBA All-Star Weekend. Would you rather see specialists such as a Steve Novak or in the three-point, a Jeremy Evans in the dunk contest, or would you rather see superstars? Personally, I'd rather see superstars.
Well, but here's the thing. Superstars will do it. That's number one. LeBron's been asked 1,000. Somebody offered LeBron $1 million to do it, and he wouldn't do it. So it's not like these guys haven't had the opportunity. They all have. The issue to me is that you would never know who Jeremy Evans is if he wasn't in the slam dunk contest. You would never know who Nate Robinson was if he wasn't in the slam dunk contest. You would never probably have known who Spud Webb was if he wasn't in the slam dunk contest. You wouldn't know who Matt Bonner was, the casual NBA fan, if you didn't watch the three-point contest. And Steve Novak, the same thing. I like giving the more people that are involved, to me, the better. And this allows more people, and it also allows those teams that may not have a superstar in their team to root for their guy. There were no Utah Jazz in this All-Star game. But here you go. You can root for Jeremy Evans because he's on your team. So I think I like it the way it is. Would I like to see LeBron in the slam dunk contest? Absolutely. But I'm okay with asking him, and he says no. There's no way you can force him into it.
No, absolutely not. See, I thought the slam dunk contest was ridiculous.
Oh, agreed.
The idea of being able to miss six dunks and still qualify is insane to me. Now, to be fair, I thought Terrence Ross was pretty awesome in the finals, as was Jeremy Evans. But the only reason I was watching it, to be honest, was because the boxing on HBO hadn't started yet. For those of you wondering whether I have any life whatsoever at all, I am a CPA. I run my own CPA practice, and I'm in busy season. So this weekend, I'm going away next weekend, which Sean will discuss. And I kind of had to get a lot of work done this weekend, so I finished around 9:30. So I didn't feel a great need to go out. But
we are sponsored by the Seth Kamen CPA firm.
Yeah,
we
are sponsored by Seth Kamen CPA, a CPA with a personality, go figure, and also by the Manhattan Wealth Management Group, which is my financial advisory practice. If anyone needs, I will give my office number.
You can go on Twitter, and if you need advice, we'll be happy to send you Seth's way.
There you go. So, if the Kansas-Texas game was relatively close, I'd have watched that over the skills competition. I don't care.
But Seth, it's not for you to care. You're already either an NBA fan or you're not.
Right.
This is not for you.
See, I disagree. I think this is for the casual fan. And the casual fan is only going to watch the superstars.
No. I agree it's for the casual fan. Just not the casual 36-year-old fan.
Yes, it's probably for the casual 15-year-old fan.
I'm thinking it's for the casual 17-year-old or 16-year-old or even 15-year-old fan that gets to stay up late on a Saturday night and watch the NBA slam dunk contest. Those are the kids that are either going to be NBA fans or not. They've already won or lost you. They're not looking for you. They're looking for that kid the same way the NHL does by selecting one player from every team. They're looking for those kids that say, hey, my team stinks, but I got one guy that I can root for, and I can watch that. I can watch the skills competition because my Jeremy Evans or my Terrence Ross is in there. When there are there's no reason for me to watch the All-Star game. I got no players in there, but I got a guy on my team.
I disagree. You're not going to watch the All-Star game or not watch the All-Star game, because as a Milwaukee Buck fan, Monte Ellis isn't in the game. I'm going to watch the game.
You're 36 years old. You're not 16.
No, but I'm not saying me personally. I'm saying in general. I disagree. I think you're going to watch the game because you want to see LeBron and Chris Paul and Kevin Durant play. You're not going to see because
it's 8 o'clock on a Sunday night.
You're not going to. It didn't even start till he started at like 9. Unbelievable. But you're not going to stay. You're not going to say. I disagree with you. You're not. You don't have a team. You're not going to watch the All-Star game based. I don't believe on your team following. You're going to watch the All-Star game.
No, I agree
with
that. But you may watch the skills competition based on your team following.
I disagree. I do. I think you're going to watch it because you want to watch it, or you don't. I don't think that your rooting position plays a part.
So if you'd like to talk against Zach, please give us a call. 763-283-0846. If you'd like to talk against Sean, don't call. We're good.
Okay, we've been kind of talking about what our this upcoming weekend. I am actually breaking my Syracuse cherry, I guess, my orange cherry. Does that make sense? So
wow.
Yes, we are. This is why we do this at 7 o'clock, because it's an NC-17 show. I am on my way up to Syracuse with Mr. Palmer and a couple friends for my 48-hour away time before I don't get any more of that for the next 2 months because of work, to see the final Syracuse Georgetown game.
And that's where I thought you were going with one player that has fulfilled his potential in being Carmelo Anthony, who also will have his jersey retired. There's two major things that are happening in Syracuse this week, and none of them involve Seth Kamen's coming up. Number one. No. Okay, there are two major things happening in the Carrier Dome. Number one, Syracuse will be breaking the all-time attendance record for one game for an NCAA game. It's already been established. The game has been sold out. I am looking at our tickets right now. So we are in. We are in. So we will be part of the crowd that will tell Georgetown and John Thompson to go kiss our hiney. And so that will be happening. And Carmelo Anthony will have his jersey retired. I believe it's the fourth jersey to be retired in Syracuse history, number 15. So I am very much looking forward to going up to the Great White North for yet another visit to my pseudo-homeland, where I spent 7 years there, and showing Mr. Kamens why I love it.
Seven years in school. What are you, a doctor?
No, if I was a doctor, I'd probably be married by now. I'm just a lawyer.
Ah, well. Yeah, because we know those Jewish girls don't go for lawyers. They only go for the accountants. Now they'll stop laughing on that. Yeah,
that's the cherry you're being popped this weekend.
There you go. Yeah, I'm kind of stoked to go up to Syracuse, have a nice little 48-hour vacation out of the city, and go see what a game at the Carrier Dome is like. Hopefully next year I will be hitting Allen Fieldhouse to go see Rock Chalk Jayhawk, a little bit of KU ball, but we'll worry about that in about 9 months.
Next year you and I will be road tripping down to Maryland to see Syracuse play Maryland in football.
Yes, we will. Road trip. Before Maryland gets thrown out of the ACC because we're nobody's rival, because nobody likes us, which
wait
nobody
second.
Liked us before.
Let's explore that, Dr. Kamens.
What
okay. did you think of Coach K's nice little press conference after the game?
I rolled my eyes. And for those of you who I'm sorry, for those of you who don't know me, I was brought up a Duke fan. I am not this big anti-Duke guy that most Maryland people are. That being said, the last 10 years, every time Coach K talks, I just roll my eyes. I find the team more and more kind of insufferable. And, you know, the comments weren't necessary. It's very simple. Maryland's broke. We have no money. We've had to cut 4 or 5 of our team. What'd you say?
Explain to everybody what he said.
Well, his comment was that we're not their rivals. We've never been their rivals. Every team that plays Duke is their rivals. And if we were that big of a rivalry, we would still be staying in the ACC. Well,
the reality
is. And that was it.
What'd you say? And then he left. Yeah. You know, it was unnecessary. First of all, the basketball team didn't vote on whether to stay in the ACC or go to the Big Ten, so that's kind of irrelevant. Number two, Jay Billis, who is the ESPN, one of the ESPN analysts, one of the few that I really enjoy, who was the Duke center on the initial team that went to the Final Four in 1986, said this is stupid. You know, if you keep denying the rivalry, pretty much you're pretty much promoting its existence. We're not a rival like North Carolina is the rival. We're not, you know, we understand that. But to deny that there was a significant rivalry at some point and still is to a lesser degree is silly. And to compare us as a rival with Virginia Tech or with Clemson is just stupid.
But is it a matter of him just at this point? Now, I have heard Jim Boeheim, who is our beloved coach, Jimmy B. I've heard Jimmy B come out against expansion numerous times. I mean, Jim Boeheim is one of the most outspoken coaches in college basketball, about whatever. I mean, he pretty much told Andy Katz to go to hell. It's one of the funnier things I've ever heard somebody say. I thought it was great, too, but only because he said it. Like, and
right.
He said it the way he did. And he has, I won't say the ammunition, but he has the tenure to back it up. Because if a first-year coach said that, people would be like, excuse you? Like, really?
Yeah.
So the go ahead.
Sorry. No. You earned, you know, Jim Boeheim has been there for 58 years. You earned
right.
that right.
So he says these things. And he's spoken out against realignment or whatever you want to call it, expansion of conferences or I don't know, basically the hog crap that's going on. He spoke out about it numerous times. Never heard Coach K speak about it. So if this is the first time that he's speaking about it, maybe he's just pissed off. Maybe he wants this to happen. He wants Maryland and Duke. He wants people talking the way we're talking right now.
We Maryland, you know, and look, I'm obviously a Maryland homer, and I admit this. But for a 5-year span, Maryland was as legitimate a rival as anybody. And now, again, that was 10 years ago. And, you know, you had it was a rivalry. It was a team, you know. Now the problem also was that Maryland doesn't have a legitimate in-state rival. Duke has North Carolina. You know, they have NC State and Wake Forest, but I don't think anyone really puts them in that category. Maryland doesn't have that. So when Maryland in 2000, you know, had played four epic games against Duke and lost 3 of 4, including at the buzzer in the ACC tournament and a Final Four game that every Maryland fan will hate till the end of time, blowing a 22-point lead, and still most of us think that the refs were paid off. But that being said, you know, that 4 years from around 99, 2000 to 2004, when Carolina was not very strong, you know, this was the most anticipated game in the country. It was. And to write us off as an also-ran in that regard afterwards is silly. You know, look, we're broke. It's very simple. Maryland has no money for their athletic department. They expanded a football stadium by $60 million, which they didn't have, thinking that tickets were going to be purchased and it was going to work accordingly. It doesn't work that way in Maryland. Maryland is a basketball school. We had to cut 7
programs. You're a big-time accountant. Donate.
What'd you say?
You're a big-time CPA. Donate.
Let me work my way up to a doorman one bedroom on the Upper West Side, and then we'll talk. We're broke. The Big Ten offers us a cable deal, which we've discussed several months ago, which will put us back in the black by 2015, 2016. You know, it's not as if. You know, plus we've never in 50 years we've never had an ACC tournament in Washington D.C. You know, we were assigned rivals of Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech. You know, we have no. I mean, it was insult. I mean, we all were pretty insulted by that. Even if you're not going to give us a Duke or a North Carolina, I think we've earned something more than a team that's, you know, you can't assign a rivalry. It's either there or it's not. Now, Duke may not see us as a rivalry at the North Carolina level, but they sure as hell see us above anyone else in the ACC, I would think. Maybe NC State, I don't know, but I would think so. But the reality is we're broke. That's it. And we did what we had to do. You know, we discussed this many months ago, but more and more it's logical. The Big Ten Conference is better in basketball, and I've been saying that for years because the ACC has been vastly overrated the last 5 years, vastly. They're better in football. Academically, they're better. I mean comparable, but the higher end on both are very good. The lower end on the ACC is not as good as the lower end on the Big Ten. Yeah, am I going to miss Maryland Duke? Damn straight. I remember my first, miss Maryland North Carolina? Absolutely. The first time I stormed the court was Maryland North Carolina, Dwayne Simpkins, scoring a layup
with
to beat
wait
number
a second.
One.
You're going
to
have Maryland Northwestern and Maryland Iowa.
I watched Maryland Northwestern this year. I watched Maryland Northwestern this year. It wasn't pretty.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, and that's part of going up this weekend, quite frankly, for most of my friends and myself, is that this is the end of what I hope you will see is one of the best rivalries in sports. I mean, Georgetown, they're – let me put it this way. Syracuse ends every single game with a chant that says, "Hey, blank, whoever that person is, what time is it?" And the crowd, or especially the pep band, will go, "It's blank time, so say it's 7:37, and the whole crowd will go, "And Georgetown still sucks." it's to the point where we're missing a lot. I mean, Boeheim has continually said, we're going to try and get St. John's, and that we know why. I mean, that's all about recruiting. We hope we'll get Georgetown because, hell, that's about recruiting too. I mean, who wouldn't want to recruit again to the Matha High School, which is where we got, a guy named Carmelo. But there are teams that we're going to play again. And by the way, if Georgetown sucks, then UConn swallows. We said that too. Or UConn, you suck. I mean, we all have our cheers, but there's no reason for us ever to play UConn again. I mean, that's really it. I don't know if that's a shame, but it's certainly nothing lost. I really don't want to ever see Jim Calhoun again. So, I mean,
well, considering he's retired, I'm not sure that's that significant anymore.
That's true. But I guess the point is that this realignment really stinks for all fans, and we know this. I mean, we've talked about this at length on this show. So, I mean, we keep on and on and on and on and on, but I really don't think we will be doing anything more than rehashing what we already have. Just for a little edification, one of my other LSAT words, the total ticket count of 35,012 people, so that's 35,010 minus Seth and myself, shattered the previous record for an on-campus college basketball crowd, which I was at, I believe, 3 years ago when Syracuse played Villanova. Yep, Villanova set the record in 2010, which was 34,616. So we're jumping 300. And, I don't know. Come on, math.
I stopped listening halfway through.
396 people. So we crammed 396 more people into the dome for this game. So we will have. We'll have a report for all of our listeners next week on the absolute atrocity of watching basketball in the Carrier Dome, because it's not exactly the greatest venue of sports. But there will be a lot of people there.
Good times had by all. Going back a little bit back to pro ball, what were your thoughts on Dwight Howard shooting? I hate that we even bring up Dwight Howard at this point. Shooting three-pointers. Now, I thought this guy had a torn whatever the hell he has. Was it torn labrum?
Yep.
What?
Look, Dwight Howard doesn't want to be in L.A. I thought you were going to go off on how he's shooting his mouth off about Kobe Bryant.
To be honest, I'm incredibly sick and tired of Dwight Howard. You know, certain people do it the right way. You know, Chris Paul does it the right way. Kobe, for the most part, has done it the right way. Even LeBron, you know, again.
Kobe does it the right way at age 36.
Yes, as opposed to at age 27.
Age 25?
That's true. You're right. My fault. Fine. Tim Duncan has done it.
Understand, Dwight Howard, for all intents and purposes, remember, Dwight Howard came out of high school. So he's, I believe, 27 years old. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't know any better, but he's not Kobe Bryant. He's Kobe Bryant when Kobe Bryant was feuding with Shaq.
You're right. No, I'm trying to take back my point. You were correct. But pretty much
– our players that do it right. Chris Paul is Steve Nash. I mean, there are
right.
guys that do it right. But, I mean, the thing is about those guys is that he went to at least 1 year of college.
Yeah, Nash played 4 years. Paul played, I think, two.
You were talking about why the one and done doesn't make any difference. I think in some ways the one and done makes a lot of sense. Because if nothing else, you get some structure when you go to college. And I'm not saying it's a lot of structure because we were both freshmen and we both did pretty much anything that we wanted while we were there for the first year. But when you go into a college basketball atmosphere, even Kentucky, you have some form of structure which you did not have as an AAU player, which is what these guys, and I'll put Josh Smith in the same category, they just didn't have any structure. So here we are when they're 25, 26, 27 years old, and I'll put Monte Ellis in the same bracket. Monte Ellis came out and said, I think I'm just as good as Dwayne Wade. Let that sit for a second.
No, that took up more time than it deserved.
Right. So, I mean, the fact is, these guys, they may be immature, but I think the one and done, if you look at the guys that went one and done, I think they are generally more mature than the guys that came straight out of high school.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extra year, so of course they're a little bit more mature, but I mean, they're more mature a lot of ways from a personal standpoint, not per se from a basketball standpoint.
Agreed. No, I'm not talking about the 1 year after they come out. I'm talking about maybe 5-6 years down the road. When's the last time you saw a guy do what Dwight Howard's doing right now? I mean, I can think of one other guy. Guess what he has in common with Dwight Howard?
He didn't go to college?
Well, actually, there are three things. He didn't go to college, he was a Laker, and he's 7 feet tall. His name is Andrew Bynum. Actually, Bynum did go to college. My bad. He went for 1 year. Right?
No, he didn't. What did you say?
Bynum was drafted out of high school, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He committed to going to Connecticut and then turned it down. Yep.
Yeah. Bynum probably likes basketball less than I think any professional basketball player ever has. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes because I assume Philly is not going to. I mean, how do you pay Andrew Bynum? I mean, what do you pay Andrew Bynum?
What do you pay Dwight Howard?
Howard
is leading the league in rebounding, so you have to put that.
But Bynum is, you know, Philly traded for him, and then Bynum has pretty much sat out the entire year. And no one is really under the impression he's that badly injured.
Nope, but he's got a great afro.
He does. Dude's got a fro.
Yeah,
you got a fro, you got to go.
He actually took this. Well, yeah. Okay, Mr. Poet, but didn't know it. Anyway, Andrew Bynum has some knee problems. He actually took the same injections that I did. So, I mean, I know the problems that he's having. Are they real? Yeah, they're real. I mean, I don't ever begrudge somebody a knee pain. I mean, the one thing that x-rays and MRIs don't always show is how much pain a person's in. So there's really no way that you can judge that a person is hurt or not hurt, at least to me.
I'm not questioning him being hurt, but do you find it a bit strange that he has fallen so far off the radar that nobody is even – he's not even a discussion point now?
Well, I think he's not a discussion point until he starts playing. I mean, that's I can't see Philly re-signing him to a max contract. That's not happening. But if I'm Andrew Bynum and I'm thinking, all right, I'm 80% now, I could come back, or I can wait more months and not risk my max contract, come back in the last month of the season, show that I can go 20-10 and get that max contract. I mean, granted, it's a little selfish, but then again, look what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we have 15 minutes to go, so if anyone wants to talk a little bit of everything, 760-283-0846. Yeah, Seth came in, Seth and Sean, my bad, backsportspage.com. We haven't, as we've talked about a couple weeks ago, it has not been a great couple months for sports heroes.
No, and you're good.
No. I'm not sure how you avoid it. You know, we started with Monte Tau and Lance Armstrong, and just when you thought it couldn't get any stranger or worse, we have Oscar Pistorius, the amputee runner from South Africa who made the Olympics, beloved by everybody, you know, really a hero, who happened to shoot his girlfriend because he would thought she was an intruder. I don't really know what to say.
It sounds very much like Ty Cobb's story. Those that don't know, legend is that Ty Cobb's mother shot his father when he was supposedly coming up the outside of the house. But that's the rumor. The other rumor is that Ty Cobb's mother caught Ty Cobb's father in bed with somebody else and shot him. But people know this. So, I mean, it's a he said, he said at this point, because she's not saying anything, unfortunately.
No,
it wasn't supposed to be funny. I caught myself. It really was not supposed to be funny. It's tragic. And, yeah, I mean, the world, the one thing that you can say about the world of sports is it's a microcosm of everything else in the world. It's no different. You have heroes, you have people that disappoint you, you have murderers, you have thieves, you have people that get taken advantage of. It all happens in the real world, except when you're a sports celebrity, it gets magnified. 50 people die in South Africa every single day from a gunshot. 50 people. It's the second heaviest, what's the word I want? It's got the second most murders per year of any country in the world behind Colombia. And we know why Colombia is number one. That doesn't take a rocket scientist. So, I mean, is this any different than regular society? No. Is it tragic? Absolutely. I mean, this guy was a hero to not only full-bodied young Americans and people around the world, but he was a Paralympic athlete. I mean, he brought joy to every single handicapped or underprivileged person in the world. And it's a crying shame that this has happened to such a young lady who was robbed of her life and that he is embroiled, is another one of my words, embroiled in such a controversy. I mean, obviously you don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And we just have to let this play out. But one interesting thing that I've learned is that South Africa does not have juries. So this is just going to be headed by a judge.
That's pretty interesting and a bit frightening.
What, that I knew it or that the judge is there?
A little bit of both. My guess is you researched it.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's because of my profession, and all of our listeners know I'm an attorney. When the legal stuff comes out in sports, I kind of go headlong into it. And it goes into the free report, the stuff that's happened with Lance Armstrong and Monte Tau, and now this. It, unfortunately, is very interesting to me how our legal system works. And sometimes it just seems like, oh, my God, his life is held by one man, not 12. So different bit of democracy around the world.
Well, before we go to our finals, we have about 5 or 6 minutes. So I just want to throw some names out there, whether you think they're going to be traded.
Josh Smith.
We'll start with Josh Smith.
Are you asking me or are you going?
I'm asking you.
You're asking me. I think Josh Smith gets traded. For the life of me, I have no idea where he goes. I've looked into every type of salary cap maneuver, and unless it's a three-way deal, I just don't see where he goes. But I know Danny Ferry wants to get rid of him. The thing is that Danny Ferry doesn't want to take back any salaries. He wants to take back draft picks, and Josh Smith wants to be a max player next year. So if you're going to give up first-round picks and young players, you got to have him re-sign. The three places I think he would go where he fits are Milwaukee, which, unlike Seth, there aren't many Milwaukee Buck fans, so I can't imagine him re-signing there. I see him perhaps going to, where was the second place? I can't remember. Oh, Denver.
Dallas.
Got a tremendous amount of young, expiring talent, but do they really want to trade for him? And do they want to give him a max contract on top of Iguodala's? And number three, going to Houston, who is under the cap, can absorb it without matching salaries. He fits great in Houston.
He would.
If I'm Daryl Morey, why am I giving up those assets instead of just letting him become a free agent and signing him then?
Yeah. Actually, before we get to this, two things. Number one, just got an IM saying that you sound distorted.
Excellent.
Yes. I'm not sure if what you can do about that, but thanks, Randy from New Jersey, for letting us know.
Thanks, Randy. I really appreciate it.
Number two, we didn't get to our question of the day, which is actually something we should touch on.
We should probably touch on that. You know what? Let's postpone that to next week. Because the trading deadline actually is this week. So let's go through that, and we'll bring back the question next week, because that's not changing until the summer of 2016.
Either of the Utah Jazz power forwards, Jefferson or Millsap?
I think Millsap goes. I think Jefferson stays. Millsap is a better player. He's got a better contract. It's only $8 million, which makes it easier to trade. They're both free agents, so I think Millsap goes. The best trade the Jazz can make would be to make one with the Clippers and get Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe. And that's the big discussion. Bledsoe, of course, has been rumored to be going to Boston, but the Celtics seem to be playing quite well without him. Doesn't really end with Rondo coming back, unless they're going to try and trade Rondo next year. No, it doesn't make sense. You know, Kevin Garnett has a no-trade clause, so it may not even matter.
Many times he will not be traded, but then again, he also said that when he was in Minnesota.
Right.
So, who knows?
He
is the godfather to Chauncey Billups' kid, who is playing on the Clippers, and he has a house in Malibu. So, I don't know. I mean, but he does have that no-trade clause. In order to get a no-trade clause in the NBA, you must be the equivalent of playing 10 years in the NBA, and I believe you have to play 5 for the same team. So it's like a 10-5 deal.
It's a 10-5 rule.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there are only 4 in the entire – I know of 3. I can't remember who the fourth one is. The three that I know, Kobe has one, Dirk has one, and Garnett has one.
Do the Knicks trade Iman Shumpert? Why do the Knicks want to trade Iman Shumpert?
I hope no. The Knicks do not have many young players, and Shumpert has the fro that matches Andrew Bynum, which makes it awesome. He looks like kid in play. But the flat top, is for those that haven't seen. But I hope they don't make the trade. I don't see this team as constructed. If healthy, and that's a big if healthy, can match up against the Heat.
It is a bad matchup for the Heat. If they even got that far, which, you know, is disputed at best. They have not looked great recently. Right. But, yeah, it is not a comfortable matchup for the Heat. Let's put it that way.
But I think part of that is having Iman Shumpert to match up against LeBron James.
Agreed.
So, I mean, Iman Shumpert 6'6", 6'9", with the hair. And, I mean, it's a matter of he's a long, lanky player. You put J.J. Redick in that system, and he's just another slow guy that's running around the court. He's Steve Novak.
Why would the Knicks want J.J. Redick? They have Steve Novak. They have J.R. Smith. They don't need another tooth. Yeah. Or are you just throwing that kind of out randomly?
All right. So we got 5 more minutes left. I think we should end the show. I'm going to try and cut you off because I think I know what you're going to talk about. So let me see if I can get this right. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand all of our listeners, we have not talked about any of these final points beforehand. So these are just the NBA lost an icon this week. Did I get it?
Nope. I figured you were going to handle that one.
Yeah, so you knew me. The NBA lost an icon this week, and that's in Jerry Buss. Jerry Buss did much more for basketball than anybody really knows. He started the Laker girls, which started every team, including the Boston Celtics, which is like the most conservative team in all of the NBA, having basketball girls. He started the rights, which I didn't really recognize until this week when he passed away. The Great Western Forum is called the Great Western Forum, or was, because Great Western bought the rights to it. I thought it was just called the Great Western Forum. He was well ahead of everybody else in naming rights. And because of that, he was able to bring in supreme talent. He made the finals 17 out of the 34 years he was an owner of the LA Lakers. Just think about that. What other team would the Cubs take one? I mean, it's mind-boggling. He owned the Kings for a while. He owned the Sparks. Everything he owned turned to gold. Jerry Buss, man, I just hope that Jim has a little bit of his dad left in him, because Jerry Buss was an icon and the king of LA. He will be missed. Seth?
Nicely said. Is it a shame that we always seem to close with eulogies?
Everybody dies.
That is quite profound, Mr. Attorney. No, I actually want to give credit to a committee, which I don't do very often because I think most of them are corrupt and garbage. But FIFA, in their infinite wisdom, has finally made a determination to bring in goal line technology. Now, to be fair, this is the same technology which has been used in tennis for several years, has been used in other sports, and for some reason was fought against consistently by Sepp Blatter, who is the president of FIFA, which is the world governing soccer organization. And it was ridiculous. It was insane. And there were goals in the 2010 World Cup, which I remember clearly Frank Lampard putting in a goal, which they couldn't figure out one way or the other how it should go. I think there was an issue with one of the U.S. goals. This is a technology that's been around for 10 to 12 years. And it's a shame that it's only coming in now. But again, it is better late than never. And so I do want to commend them. As I said, I take shots at these committees because they are what they are. But when they do something right, I think they deserve credit for it. And so I think it's the right move. So we're about to close up here. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for our little jaunt up to Q'sville, a little bit of dinosaur barbecue. I'm going to have to see if I have any orange T-shirts or shorts. I don't think I do. But somehow I'm sure I will enjoy. And hopefully the people up in Q's will have as much fun as all the rabid Maryland fans did on Route 1 around 8:30 on Saturday night. So for Sean Palmer
from the third tier, that's the way
there you
do.
Go. For Sean Palmer, this is Seth Kamen, Seth and Sean Sports, the radio show, backsportspage.com. Check us out next week, guys. Have a good night. Yeah. Bye.